having a 300-year-old mind is to basically let all the constructs evaporate. Let them evaporate and not be held, not be encumbered by them, by either the constructs or what you've experienced in the past, and bring yourself forward as just this pure energy of love and connection and building and contributing. And when you come from that space, oh my gosh, it is transformative.
All right, it is Q1 of 2024. That means new goals, more growth, and upgrading your day-to-day workflow. That's why I want to talk to you today about the HubSpot Sales Hub. This thing is basically an all-in-one platform to help you get out of that muck of scheduling everything manually, digging through data, tracking down leads, probably not following up with things. Sales Hub will flip everything on its head. This thing's an easy-to-use suite of powerful tools. It's going to help you convert contacts into customers quicker, accelerate sales with smart sequences, manage deals with simple and powerful tools, and help you forecast a lot smarter. It actually uses this new AI-powered app called ChatSpot. Combines ChatGPT with HubSpot Smart CRM. Basically, you can ask this thing to create more revenue for you and deliver it as well. So you can ask it to track down contacts, competitors, summarize sales, and actually draft emails for you. So now's the time to close more deals and get on track. Make Q1 your best yet. Explore the new HubSpot Sales Hub and AI tools like ChatSpot at HubSpot.com/sales. Hey, this episode, I want to share a special gentleman that I got connected with recently that's redefining the way I'm thinking and also approaching like my physical body and life in general. It's taking from like this binary way of thinking to more of a quantum exponential way of thinking. And that'll make a lot more sense in a moment. So this is why I brought Dr. Jeffrey Gladden on the podcast and his philosophy of life, living, business, all this. It basically is to embody a physical body of a 30-year-old and then have a mind, wisdom, full of life experience and wisdom of a 300-year-old. I know it sounds kind of crazy. You're going to see what I mean in this episode. And also make sure to check out Dr. Gladden's book called 100 is the New 30. This is the philosophy. He's going to share it here and guarantee you're going to have a whole bunch of light bulb moments. So let's get into it. It's great to see you again. I mean, we met, what, in Florida about a month ago or so.
Yeah.
Mutual buddy, yeah, Jim Bunch. And, yeah.
Yeah, how's great that? To see you too. Yeah, some really nice energy down there, wasn't there? I mean, some cool stuff going on. Some nice collaborations that are actually coming to fruition out of that little roundtable meeting we had at lunch. So
yeah, I'm happy. Yeah, it doesn't always happen, right, where it extends outside of the room.
So, right.
Right. So, I mean, and I've been chatting with Leonard a lot, you know, on your team and what you're doing over there at Gladden Longevity. And I mean, you're doing so many interesting things that I feel like is more timely by the day, you know, speaking a lot about energy and as we're getting older, the stressors of life. I mean,
yeah,
all the way back to the heart work that you did, the, you know, cardiology, all the stuff you did back then. I would love to bring us up into this bigger idea that we were talking about is really the role of energy as we apply it to not only life, but business, you know, and as we're getting older with the aging process, with the stressors of life, maybe the speed of the world as well. That's where I'd love to get some of your insights and maybe some quick thoughts here to kick us off.
Well, I think, you know, as I have thought about it, and I've thought about it for a long time, you know, as you mentioned, I did practice cardiology for 25 years, and I did a lot of things in that space that we don't need to recount right now. But I left all that about 12 years ago after I got sick in my 50s and was told I was just getting older when I went in to get tested. And I was told, you know, why don't you take an antidepressant? And it was 2.5 years later that I was able to crack the code from going into functional medicine, integrative medicine, age management medicine, and really kind of unraveling the knot of what was going on for me. So that started me down the pathway, really, of leaving sick care to go into healthcare. And as I've gone into healthcare, initially it was about optimizing health. But then I started to think about, well, how do we optimize longevity? And it became an interesting kind of conversation with myself. What is longevity, right? We if you look it up in the dictionary, longevity, and if you're an entrepreneur and you're listening to this, you may have some thoughts about longevity, right? So I want to have longevity in my work. I want to have longevity in my life. The way I've come to understand it is that the word longevity just means to live for a long time, right? And yet I realize that what we all value about ourselves is really our youthfulness, right? Yeah. We value our youthfulness, our capabilities, our ability to perform, you know, intellectually, sexually, physically, to be able to partake in life. We love being young, right? Mm. And so it really dawned on me that longevity should be about living young for a lifetime. And so the book that I wrote, 100 is the New 30, the subtitle is How Playing the Symphony of Longevity Will Enable Us to Live Young for a Lifetime. But there's another piece to it that I think factors in, and that is that the real target for me in longevity is not simply to live to a particular age. Like you talk to a lot of people, well, I want to live to 180, I want to live to 150, I want to live to 300. It's like, that's so abstract, right? I mean, it's so abstract, and yet we know what it is to be young. So for me, the target is when I'm 100 is to have a 30-year-old body and a 300-year-old mind.
Ooh, interesting. Okay. Wise, right? A wise mind.
All the wisdom, all the equanimity, all the sense of perspective, right? Because I think ultimately when you have a 30-year-old body and a 300-year-old mind, and I'll say mind, spirit, you know, et cetera, when you have that combination, we don't even think about this as a combination, but when you have that combination, you have true longevity, right? Now you have so much perspective and so much wisdom. And one of the things that I've discovered is that really the tragedy of life for gifted and talented people, like the people that are listening to this podcast, is that, you know, every year of your, or every decade, quite honestly, of your professional life, you have an exponential increase in your impact and your opportunities. Mm. Exponential impact going up. And yet the aging process is an exponential process going down, right? We age so much more between 70 and 80, 80 and 90, right? Yeah. And so you're in an exponential game. And many people have a linear strategy, right? Oh, I'm going to biohack. Well, that's a linear strategy to an exponential problem, right? Mm, okay. It's not good enough. It's not good enough. You have to understand more than just, I'm going to take some supplements, right? It's not like I'm going to eat better, exercise, take some supplements, and that's an exponential strategy, because it's not. It's a linear strategy, right? And people get sort of duped into thinking they've got the right strategy, which may work for 3 or 4 or 5 years, but ultimately, those people get old too, right? So how do you get an exponential strategy? Well, part of the exponential strategy is having this 300-year-old mind. But if you flip that equation, right? So you have exponential decline from aging, exponential increase in impact and opportunity. When those lines cross, that's a tragic point, because now your ability to access those opportunities and make that impact also starts to go down, right? And so eventually you end up in a nursing home. Somebody's coming to visit you because they still care about you, right? And that's a fate that none of us want. Right. And so the point is that if you stay 30 for the rest of your life, if you physically stay 30 for the rest of your life, and you add in all this wisdom, right? All the psycho-spiritual wisdom that comes with that, you can actually have a massive exponential rise in your impact and opportunity. The return on investment for that blows away any other investment you will ever make in your life.
There's a lot there, yeah. Because I mean, and I think the visuals of the cross section of that graph, you know, the up and down of both, and the fact that you're absolutely right. And I never thought about it this way, but each decade you're exponentially more impactful in whatever right. we're doing, and us as business owners, especially if we have something we're spreading messages around,
right?
We're getting wiser. So if we can keep that momentum going,
right,
everyone benefits.
That's right. So I think if you're listening to this, the thing to ask yourself is, you know, what's my target? What am I going for? Because one of the things that I found is that in life, you really only get the answers to the questions that you're asking.
Yeah.
So if you're asking the question, well, how do I sell my business so I can buy a boat and sail around the world? Well, that's the answer that you'll get, right? If you're asking, how do I retire so I can play more golf with my buddies while I slowly fade into the sunset. Now, yeah, I want to live a long time so I can play golf a long time. Well, those are the answers that you'll get. But if you're asking the question, how do I stay young? How do I stay 30? Right? I'm 27, right? I wake up 27 every day.
Yeah.
And, right? I wake up 27 every day. And I'll give you my chronological age in just a moment. But, you know, if you focus on, if you're asking the question, how do I stay young and how do I have a 300-year-old mind, right? Now it's like, okay, now I really have legs to go forward. Now longevity actually means something. It represents bigger opportunities than I could even imagine. And so that's the future that I want, quite honestly. And I think a lot of people do once they realize it's accessible.
Oh my gosh, yeah. And it's asking better questions of ourselves seems mm-hmm. to create a new reality for ourselves of what's possible.
100%. Yeah. That's right. 100%. You know, one of the things in the book that I talk about is the life energy circle, right? And there are really four circles that I address in the book. One is the life energy circle, which is focused on the psycho-spiritual. The second one is the longevity circle, which is really focused on the hallmarks, the phenotypic expression and drivers of aging, right? Those processes, biological processes that underlie the aging process, which medicine in general never addresses, right? Cardiologists only taking care of symptoms, functional medicine doctor, it's great, but they're looking for the root cause of those symptoms. They're not looking at the root cause of aging per se, right? Even when they're doing their longevity stuff, they're dabbling. They're not really going hard at it to actually see how do we reverse these things. So when you have the mindset of actually doing longevity medicine, you're focused on those drivers of aging. So the next set of circles is focused on that. Then the next set, the third set, is on health, all the different organ systems, right? Everything that you would imagine. Mm-hmm. And then the fourth is basically performance. So how do I remain fast, agile, strong, quick, balanced, right? With great flexibility, great cardiovascular endurance, and great recovery. How do I do that? And how do I learn how to get into flow states? And things like this, right? So the cognitive ability really comes out of the health circle, but this performance piece is there, right? Because you want to be able to enjoy your life, right? And so that's the fun. So really those four circles, when you really deconstruct them deeply, you start to be able to develop an exponential strategy for the aging process.
And I'm curious, as you know, because we hear longevity and there's, like you just said, there's a lot of practitioners out there in health in general and wellness. How would you define longevity in your stance?
I would define longevity as a 30-year-old body with a 300-year-old mind. Mm-hmm. I've gotten really, really clear about that, that's really the target because otherwise it's, what is it? It's survival. It's just, I want to decrease my rate of decline. I want to try to maintain, you know, we basically have been so conditioned by the aging process and by the way society has embraced the aging process. And for good reason, right? Everybody's aged and died, right? That we know about. So, but it's become so canonized in society that it's reinforced by our friends, our families, our peers, our government, your workplace. You know, everything is telling you you're getting older, right? Yeah. And yet, I really think we are the first generation to live at a time where that doesn't have to be the case, right? So that's what makes it exciting. So when you think about that, being able to stay young, then it's like, okay, I don't want to just stay young. I don't want to be in my 20s again and make some of the same mistakes I made in my 20s. I really want to capitalize on all the wisdom I picked up. Yeah. So then you get to this target of 30-year-old body, 300-year-old mind. And if you're asking that question, you will be, if you're listening to this, if you will adopt that question, quite honestly, it will change your life completely. You will start to think about everything in a different light. It's so powerful.
I love it. And I could see there's a couple questions in my mind, but one I want to address right now is the question, like how you frame this question to yourself. It sounds like you wake up every day and it's on your mind. Like, how would you recommend folks to go about this? Is it like journaling to really lock in like, hey, this is where I'm going to embody this?
Well, there are several things, you know, in the practice in Gladden Longevity. One of the things I realized when I was a cardiologist was that I was only asking certain questions. And when I was told that you're sick, you know, yes, you're tired. Yes, you're depressed. Yes, you're putting on weight, but you're just getting older. What do you expect? Taking an antidepressant. Mm. And I started to ask different questions. I was like, no, well, how did this happen? Right. And it was in asking different questions that I found different answers and was able to crack the code. So once we did that at Gladden Longevity, once I started to feel really good again, the first question I started to ask was, I wonder how good I can be. If I can feel this good again, right? I wonder how good I can be. How fit, how strong, how mentally sharp, how spiritually connected, how relationally replete. How good can I be? How good can my life be? How big of an impact can I make, right? How many opportunities can I access? How good can I be, right? And I think that's the first question. The second question then became, how do we make 100 to new 30, right? How do you do that? And then how do you live well beyond 120? Can you crack the Hayflick limit and actually live well beyond 120? And then how do you live young for a lifetime, right? Yeah. Living young for a lifetime is a mindset. So one of the ways that I answer those questions is I wake up 27 every day, right? And yep. I have to tell you, just doing that is intensely powerful. So I will sit down and to your point, I do journal every morning. I go through 3 gratitudes, a few things that would make today great, and some affirmations about myself. And those things can go all over the map. They can be super sort of meditative and spiritual, or they can be very concrete. But I wake up with this idea that I'm 27. And so if I don't feel 27, then it's like, no, but I'm 27. What do I need to do to get back to 27? I never wake up and say, yeah, but you're good for your age. You're so much better than other people your age. You see, that's acquiescing. That's acquiescing right. to aging, right? And yet it's so easy to do. Yeah, I work out. I'm good for my age. Bullshit. That's you've just lost the game. You've got to play a different game. So I wake up 27, and that's been so powerful for me.
I mean, just that framing alone, because if you don't believe it, it has to start with us. And we have all this conditioning. I know all of us, you know, we have our own conditions, whatever. We can blame our upbringing for everything, but really you're stunting yourself, you know, if you're stuck in, that's not your container. You're limitless. And it starts with our mind.
You know, it's a great point that you make. One of the biggest issues I think we all have is that everybody grew up with trauma. Right? We all had trauma. And then we all lived in reaction to that trauma. Yep. Right? And so we become encumbered by that trauma, so to speak. And so one of life's goals, one of the goals of really developing this 300-year-old mind is to be able to go back and understand that trauma. Who did what to who? What was my perception? What was their perception? What actually went down? Let's get some understanding of it. How was it that I was vulnerable to that in the first place, right? And then you can go in from there and you can heal it and you can get to a place of insight. And then that's good, but when it really starts to happen is when you actually transcend it, when you actually forgive the people that were involved and you actually have love for them again and you actually become grateful for everything that ever happened to you because it was all part of what it took to bring you to where you are today. Right. So when you actually move away from being the victim of your trauma to actually welcoming it all as a gift, this is part of becoming unencumbered. Right. So I think part of our goal is to become unencumbered by the past. And one of the things I've been working on most recently is being free to love. Right. Uh-huh. So you go through life and it's like, well, I love this person, but I don't know about that person. I'm not sure about you, right? I'm not, you know, whatever.
Selective love, right?
It's more selective love. Yeah. And it's all resides inside of a construct, right? Of how love is supposed to work. But when you go really deep on the spiritual side of it, you realize that all we are is love, right? Mm. And that really there is no bounds to the ability to love and to share love freely. Mm-hmm. And so one of the last encumbrances that I've removed is this idea that I'm not free to love. I am free to love. I'm free to love. And I can tell you that when you go into a situation with that mindset, it changes the room entirely. Yeah. It just changes it entirely. The energy is so different, right?
Yeah. I was just going to say the energy, like you feel it and you can't really describe it, but it just feels different. You're lighter. Hey, I'm going to pause this really fast and shout out another podcast that's on the HubSpot Podcast Network, the audio destination for business professionals. This one's a podcast hosted by someone I've followed for years. I've read his books. His name is Donald Miller, and he hosts the podcast called Business Made Simple. The whole premise there with that show is that it helps take the mystery out of growing your business. And one of the recent episodes is one with Alex Hormozi, someone else I've followed for years now. And it's all about talking about the uncertainties that we're living in right now in 2024 and beyond, but how we can take our business and shore it up. There's actually four principles Alex shares, and Don gets into it as well. So definitely recommend checking that out. So go listen to Business Made Simple, hosted by Donald Miller, wherever you get your podcasts. Are you looking to earn more online? It's time to meet Kartra. It's your ultimate all-in-one business platform that makes it even easier to boost your income online. So with Kartra, creators, coaches, and experts can turn their knowledge and services into profits. You can create pages, funnels, and attract customers, build membership sites, and share your knowledge, automate your business so you can free up your time and do a whole bunch of other fun stuff. So Kartra has every tool you need to grow your business in one place. And the best part is that it's super affordable and easy to use. So now's the time to streamline and scale your biz. Head over to hustleandflowchart.com/Kartra and snag a free 30-day trial. Again, that's hustleandflowchart.com/KARTRA.
That's right. You're lighter, right? You're lighter. And as if you're listening to this, this is how you can tell you're making progress, because when you're making progress on this 300-year-old mind, you will feel lighter, you will feel unencumbered, you will feel in more balance and equanimity. The concepts of stress, right? We always talk about, well, I'm under so much stress. Well, what is stress, right? What is stress? Stress is basically not feeling safe.
Yes.
Right?
That's right.
So stress is not feeling safe. So anxiety, depression, stress, anger, fear, it all for me anyway, devolves down to not feeling safe, right? And then you realize that there's nothing external to you that can ever make you feel safe. There's no amount of money. There's no product you can develop. There's no relationship you can have. Nothing external to you can ever make you feel safe. So then it's like, okay, well, what am I stressing about? This isn't going to make me feel safe. I may have a passion for doing this, but it's never going to make me feel safe. So then how do I give myself safety? Where do I find safety? Because when you have a 300-year-old mind, you do feel safe, right? And again, that comes back to sort of a psycho-spiritual perspective, right? Being connected to something greater. And it's like, oh, I'm an eternal being. And it's great. It's beautiful. It's lovely to be on this planet. But I'm safe. You know, if they drop a nuke on the beach here, it's okay, right?
Sure.
Right? So ultimately, you end up giving yourself safety, but it frees you up from being tied to the result of something that you're working on as a means to feeling safe. And that's one of the world's biggest traps right there. And it leads to all this stress.
Because I still fall into the trap, and I'm sure we all do. And yeah. You know, like when you feel, it all triggers in some other way. For me, it's a tightness in my back or sometimes in chest. And then, you know, but like in the moment, it's so tough to break from that feeling. And, but then, you know, you step away from your work or go outside or whatever it might be. Seems like the easiest things. And I'm curious of your thoughts here, because I know a lot of us, a lot of entrepreneurs, we're drivers, right? Like it's all or nothing. Right. Like the success is on our back. The failure is also on us. So that's a big thing with this show, is like the mental health aspect. I mean, it's real. How do you break from that, maybe that pattern of feeling stress or anxiety, and like catch yourself in the moment?
Well, you reframe it. You reframe it is the way that I go about it. It's basically you just become incredibly grateful for the opportunity to make an impact. If you're talking to a prospective client or you're talking to whomever, it's not about I have to succeed. It's about I'm so grateful for the opportunity to, you know, have a positive impact in this person's life, right? Yeah. And that in itself becomes the reward. That is the reward. There's none of this financial gain. Well, if we hit 12 figures, I don't care. You know, that's never the gain. I had a really interesting epiphany not too long ago in thinking about how do you decide who to work with?
That's a big one.
Right, it's a big one. How do you decide who to work with? Because I've gotten into some situations with people where like there was resonance around an idea. It's like, oh yeah, that's a good idea. And I feel some resonance with this person. Okay, well, let's go do that. Right? And sometimes it works out and sometimes it doesn't, right?
True.
Well, right, everybody's had that experience, I think. So how do you actually decide who to work with? So for me, it comes down to, you know, we have a mutual friend, Jim Bunch, and he was talking about mission, vision, and values. So that becomes a starting place. You have to actually delineate your personal mission, your personal vision, your personal values, and see how that marries up to the other person, right? And out of that becomes this idea of, are we doing this for the money, or are we doing this for the opportunity to serve? You know, where is that coming from, right? And what is it, do you feel safe in and of yourself? Do you need this to have a certain outcome for you to feel safe? Is this, are you gonna be, you know, in a lather about this kind of thing? You know, where are you with that? So mission, vision, values becomes the first thing. And then the other thing is the people, for me, have to be inspiring. I have to be inspired by them, right? And the project has to be inspiring. And the next thing is they have to be quantum thinkers. So what do I mean by quantum thinking? Well, I think the world's problems come from binary thinking, right? This is right, that's wrong. You know, think about every war going on right now, right? It's all binary thinking, right? It's all binary thinking. And yet, we know that reality is quantum, right? Quantum energy fields, this is all center of potentials, right? And our thoughts create the reality that exists. So, you know, when you have that, you realize that in quantum thinking, rather than trying to get to an answer, you're looking at the field of all possibilities, and out of that, finding the right solution for this moment in time. So it's the ability to not be tied into a binary thought process, like, well, this is how we did it in my last company, so we're gonna do it again here, right? That's binary thinking. I can't work with binary thinkers. I have to work with quantum thinkers, right? People that are open and looking for the solution, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I like that, yeah, because I mean, yeah, science more and more is I don't know if the science is caught up to it, but quantum thinking in general, like there's just way more than what we can, I guess, define in this stage right now, but we can feel it. Like there's so much evidence around, you know, Tesla talked about it back in the day.
One of the other things, I'll just complete this thought on how to decide who to work with, is the other thing that's really become important to me is the people I work with have to want to be a hero to me as much as I want to be a hero to them. Because let's say you and I are working on something, then I want to be a hero to you. I'm going to show up and be a hero to you. And I want you to want to show up and be a hero to me, right? Mm-hmm. Because if we have that kind of resonance with each other, then that's really good. That's really good energy. And the final thing is I had the understanding, I had this during a deep meditation that came out, which is that really a project is successful not based on the money that you make or even what you accomplish with the project. The real fruit of the project are the relationships that you build out of it. Mm-hmm. That becomes actually the real prize. Because when you build great relationships with these people that, you know, you've lined up mission, vision, values, the things we talked about, then you can go on and do many other things together. And there's a joy of life there that exceeds, you know, the accomplishment, so to speak. So anyway, that's part of a 300-year-old mind, right? How do you figure out who to work with, right?
So that's a big deal. I mean, hey, there's people, there's AI and all the fun stuff, but there's still humanity that we need to master the relational side of things and feeling safe with others and vibing with that energy. And it doesn't end. It never will end. And it's up to us to tap into that and create that expansiveness from that unlimited potential. Man. So I'm assuming this probably layered a little bit into, and correct me if I'm wrong, the life energy circle.
Yeah, so the life energy circle has several components to it. The first is mindset, right? Which is, are you married to your questions or are you married to your answers?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I find many people, particularly professionals, are trained. Like I was a doctor, right? I am a doctor, I guess. I am full blown.
You are, yeah.
Yeah, but the point is that you go to medical school and you get trained, right? You go to good schools, you get trained. You're an accountant, you're an attorney, you get trained. You're an engineer, you get trained, right? And then you basically get married to a way of thinking, right? You get married to, well, these are the questions that matter. Here are the answers that have been proven, blah, blah, blah. And everything else is anathema, right? Everything else doesn't count. Yeah. And it leads to binary thinking instead of quantum thinking. So what I've done in my life that's been so helpful is to say that I'm not married to any answer. We literally have thousands of answers. I'm not married to any of them. I'm only married to the questions. Because if something better comes along, let's do that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the first thing. The second thing has to do with mental health, right? How you so much anxiety, depression, PTSD. You know, how do you solve that? We talked a little bit about that, the whole trauma cycle.
Yep.
And then one of the next ones is, how do you have great relationships? We talked about, you know, how do you choose who to work with? But then I think for me, what is a great relationship? You know, what's your definition of a great relationship, right? So for me, it's knowing and being known and loving and being loved, right? When you're known and you know the other person, this came to me in a meditation also, right? Where there was this being across this river of love, and it was like, oh my God, telepathically, we were just so connected. It's like, wow, this is heaven. This, I'm knowing and being known, loving and being loved. I mean, it was like, okay, I get it. This is a new paradigm, right? Yeah. So that becomes really what you're going for in relationship. So it's really important to know what you're going for, I think. And so like 100 is the new 30. That's important to know. 300-year-old mind, 30-year-old body. In relationship, I'm going for knowing and being known, loving and being loved. And then what does it take to get there? Well, it takes courageous conversations. You got to bring stuff up.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, this could blow up the whole thing, but I need to bring this up in kind of a loving, I want to bring it up in a loving way, but I need to talk about it. And when you have courageous conversations, this is how intimacy is built. So too many people get into a relationship and they just start sweeping stuff under the rug because it's not that big a deal. Next thing you know, the relationship's super stale, resentment sets in, and everybody falls apart. So you got to really be cultivating it every day.
I feel like the conversations in, I don't know if it's the circles I'm in, but those conversations are happening more and more, a little bit deeper. Yeah, maybe not across the board. It could be age or whatever it is, but like, I guess, how would you start that with a circle of people? Let's say folks listening, maybe they don't feel like they have that so much in their lives right now, that maybe they're the only ones that kind of are starting to think this way, or they're even just hearing us for the first time now. How do you start those courageous conversations? Because I think that opens up so many doors.
Oh, it opens up tremendous doors. Well, you and I don't know each other very well, right? I mean, we've met once before.
Getting there, but yeah.
We're just kind of brushing up against each other a little bit here. So, you know, if we were going to have a courageous conversation, you know, it might just be, at this stage, it might just be going after questions, right? Like, what are the things that really light you up? What are the things that make you the happiest? What are things like that? You know, share with me, you know, the things that you love more than anything else, right? What would something you would do if you weren't going to get paid for it, but you love it so much you would do it anyway, right? You know, just getting to know you, right? Those are sort of next level questions, right? As you develop a relationship with somebody, then if you're living with somebody or sharing an office with them or whatever, things will come up, right? Things will come up, and it's like, then it's just about not sweeping it under the rug, but saying, hey, and even agreeing to this ahead of time. Look, as things come up, let's talk about them. Nobody's making anybody wrong here. Nobody's accusing anybody. It's just, I'm going to bring forward something that's kind of, you know, it's kind of weighing on me at the moment. I just want to put it out there so we can talk about it, right? There's no blame. There's no, right? And everybody takes responsibility for themselves. And you put it out there, and then if the other person looks at it from a right perspective, they say, that's interesting. Yeah, tell me more about that. I want to understand what that's like for you, right? It's kind of having almost these therapeutic conversations to actually understand before we respond, right? And the deeper you go into that, the more you understand, the more empathy you develop for the other person, and the more opportunity there is then for understanding and knowing and being known.
Yeah, and that creates more love or that bond between the two of it.
Exactly.
And this goes for, I'm just thinking, for any relationship, spouses, partners. I mean, like, it's so easy to stick at the surface level or stay comfortable. And that's right. Vulnerable conversations, really, like, I feel like it's only difficult in our minds. But then that's you open it up, you ask the question, you're like, oh, we're going there. And it's like, we've been there.
Exactly. It's kind of like skiing or snowboarding, right? You look over the precipice, it's like, holy shit, are we really going to go down there? But
right.
Then you jump off and it's like, hell, that was great. But, you know, I will tell you, every courageous conversation starts with this feeling of standing outside yourself, looking at yourself. Am I really going to say this? it always sure. starts, am I really going to say this? And then you kind of bring it up, right? It's courageous. It takes courage to do it.
That's it. I mean, like, I'm just going to, with you, it's like walking into that room, the round table that, you know, I met you guys yeah. at. We had yeah. no clue what we were getting into. And, you know, it was, right. And I've had Dara, you know, from Delphi on the podcast here. So it was Dara yes. and I walking into the room with you, Jim Bunch, and a whole bunch of others. And
yeah.
didn't know you, but you know, I heard the kind of caliber, you know, doctor, but I'm like, holy shit, okay, we're doing this.
And like, and here we are.
Yeah. And here we are. And that's how things open up. And it's the feeling of safety, being mm-hmm. open, and just that energy. I mean, that's you never it. Know where things go.
Yeah.
Well, I'm curious, and maybe this is like the last kind of tidbit, but you mentioned now's the time that, you know, we're going to have that 300-year mind, your old mind, and that 30-year-old body. Like, why mm-hmm. why now? Is it technology?
It's technology. I think we're basically, there's so much progress just in general science, right? You know, when you think about quantum things that are being understood, you think about the cosmos, which is being unraveled more and more. You think about the expanses of AI and computing power and quantum computing and all the things that are coming online that help us solve problems. And then you look at the groundswell, really, of people that are incredibly interested in this and the dollars that are pouring into it from a research perspective. And this has never happened in the history of mankind, right? Never happened. And so we are actually literally making progress all the time in this, right? So I will tell you that yesterday, I completed my 70th lap around the sun.
Nice. Yeah. Awesome. Congrats.
And I celebrated, but I'm 27, right? And I celebrated yep. by doing this really hard mountain bike ride down in South Puerto Rico, and I crushed it. And it's like, oh, yeah, I'm 27. Of course I crushed it, right? So it starts with who you believe you are, and that's so critical to this.
I love it, man. And this is where, you know, I'm having a birthday a week after your okay. your yesterday's birthday, and
yeah,
I knew a lot of people with birthdays on I'm not going to date the episode, but on your birthday, which is ironic.
Cool.
But cool. Yeah, I think there's this. I heard my wife mention it earlier. You know, like writing notes to my two daughters. I have a 4.5-year-old and a 3-month-old,
nice.
And writing emails and saying, hey, you know, like we're gonna have a great another 50 years, but it's like.
Right.
But that's a construct. Like that is.
That's right.
I'm 38 physically here, you know. But I know I'm a lot yeah. younger, and it's these questions. So I guess you know, mm-hmm. let's leave everybody here with let's like break the cycle of whatever paradigm that we're in. That's and right. I know we've already talked about it, but maybe leave us with a good one-liner here.
Yeah, the thing to understand is that everything is made up.
Yeah,
everything is made up. And that's a powerful thing to think about, right? Whether it's religion, politics, anything, it's all made up. And science is made up, quite honestly, right? You know, people say, I believe in science. I'm like, really? Tell me about that. Because science is simply a construct trying to explain what is. It's just
a construct. It's an attachment to a concept or whatever it is.
It's a construct. It's a construct. Yeah. Government's a construct, right? And so we live within all these constructs. And the question, I think becoming having a 300-year-old mind is to basically let all the constructs evaporate. Mm. Let them evaporate and not be held, not be encumbered by them, by either the constructs or what you've experienced in the past, and bring yourself forward as just this pure energy of love and connection and building and contributing. And when you come from that space, oh my gosh, it is transformative. Stress goes out the window. There is no stress. What's there to stress about?
Yeah. I love it. And it's not woo-woo, right? Yeah. Like, I feel like there's always that label in folks' mind when love is thrown around. It's like, well, give it a shot. Tell us how you feel.
Exactly.
Because you can't really, you can't ignore that. So, Dr. Gladden, I appreciate you so much, man. So, shout out where I know you have a podcast. Obviously, you have a whole yeah. bunch of stuff going on.
Yeah, so if people want to track us down, they can go to gladlongevity.com. I have a book out, 100 is the New 30, came out in September. And it's being well received. It's also on Audible, which I actually read.
Cool, good.
Yeah, and then we have a podcast, the Glad and Longevity Podcast, which maybe we'll have you on, Joe. It'd be fun to have you back on there. We can talk about
very fun.
entrepreneurs and what age you want to be for the rest of your life, you know, that kind
of
thing.
Yeah. And I've gone through the whole bunch of trauma cycles and there's some interesting cycle, stories that I've overcome, but.
Yeah. And everybody has that stuff, right? We all feel like we're alone. We feel like we're separated, right? Particularly entrepreneurs. They feel isolated. They feel separated, but you're not, right? And so being able to move beyond that changes your life dramatically. So
that's the impact I want to leave with this show. And honestly, it's not the sexiest thing. It used to be a lot of tactics, marketing strategies. There's some of that, but let's be honest, it's exactly what you said. And honestly, I got to give a lot of a hat tip to Jim Bunch in the way, the expansive thinking. He'll be on soon. He hasn't been on here
yet. Yeah. I love
quite ready.
Yeah.
But yeah,
he's going to become good friends.
Oh yeah. He's an incredible man. And it's just like when you start to think of impact and expansiveness, you get out of the minutiae little stuff. And I feel like tactics are that. I mean, they're important, but let's be honest.
Yeah.
That's expansiveness.
Right.
So
that's
all right, man. Appreciate your time. Go enjoy the beach. I know you're looking at it over there. So
yeah, it's right there. Well, Joe, thank you so much. This was a lovely conversation. Really great to get to know you a little better. So thanks so much.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Appreciate you.